We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, which is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KCSN. It's the headlines, rumors, stories, and stats people are talking about to get you through the day and caught up with all things Chiefs. Different guests each week with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, proudly presented by DraftKings, begins now.
Welcome to KCSN Update, presented by DraftKings. And this is a very special, rare occasion we get to do in person with Brett Coleman today. Brett, what's up, buddy?
Chiefs kingdom enemy number one, apparently.
I'm not up to date on all that, but that, is it just because you had the audacity to say that the Bengals might beat the Chiefs?
So it's funny. I retracted that pick, by the way. As soon as it came out that Mahomes had no injury designation, but the show already went out. So thanks, Tucker.
Yeah, I'm good for blaming Tucker on absolutely anything we possibly can. But there's plenty to talk about this game. Because, like, look, that was a great football game. That was just a great football game. It was a really tough, gritty, you know, all-out kind of performance that you saw from two football teams. And, I mean, I get why the Bengals are a tough football team, and they proved that. I mean,
the two best teams in the conference. They deserve to be there for one.
And it's the same game they've played four times in a row.
Yeah. I mean, and I even said, like, if the Chiefs win this game, because I felt like the Bengals were their toughest remaining opponent, right? Even though the Eagles have a more talented roster, the Bengals just with Joe Burrow and with Ja'Marr Chase and T. I mean, God, fourth and six, they throw it up to Ja'Marr in double coverage. Like, no other team can do that, right? So I felt like if they beat Cincy, especially considering all the injuries they had, like three receivers are out, you know, you're playing with like almost an entirely rookie secondary, like they were going to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That was how I felt. This was their last major obstacle, and I still hold to that. And I don't really care that the Eagles are favored. Like I'm picking KC. Like you would have to give me a unbelievable reason to pick against KC at this point. Yeah, and I've rarely picked against them this season, by the way. The only two times I think I picked against them was ironically against Cincy. I'm not doing it again.
You're such a hater. That's what that's my takeaway, is you're just, God, such a hater. It is, you know, like, I think one of the things you're talking, like, the mental hurdle for this team, too. Because, like, that team went and the Chiefs lost to the Bengals in three really close games in really ugly ways three straight times. The mental hurdle for the Chiefs getting over that one was kind of big, too.
Yeah, and I think this is not a team that lacked confidence, obviously. But it's more so every single time they got close to getting over that hurdle before, something would go wrong.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that something was Ja'Marr. But they survived, right? They survived. Even through all the injuries, they survived. And I think, if anything, that's going to slingshot them to be an even better version of themselves. And this is already the best version of the Mahomes offense we've ever seen. Like, even without Tyreek, like, even with, you know, some of the, I don't want to say rocky starts. You know, we thought Sky Moore was going to be a bigger factor than he has this year, right? They've still been the best offense, in my opinion, ever.
I mean, that's you're not far off. They're one of the best ever, for sure. One of the things I keep thinking about with this game, which is so wild, and you mentioned the three receivers. What do you think a call sheet looks like when you've got three receivers, one of them's a special teams ace, and honestly, Brett, the only reason that Marcus Kemp was active this week is because the Bengals claimed Chris Lamons genuinely, like, they probably would have gone with Lamons over, like, a Marcus Kemp for that game if
the call sheet is MVS, go get open. That's literally, like, what it is, right?
It's crazy, right? Like, I just, like, I can't imagine, like, what they were trying to do, what they were trying to navigate. I mean, it looked like they were going to play a lot of heavy tight ends anyway. They're going to play more tight ends than they typically did. And they kind of leaned on that a little bit. But it kind of feels like that the game plan was kind of held together by duct tape after all those receivers went out.
And, you know, in the second half, they were doing some of the drop eight stuff, which gives them trouble. But Mahomes was hitting throws against it that he wasn't hitting last year, right? And even with not limited mobility, because, you know, he kind of won the game on a scramble, right? Less mobility than we're used to. He was still able to buy enough time for guys to find those gaps deep down the field. If I recall correctly, the last touchdown was against a drop eight. I think it was. I think it was only a three-man rush, if I recall correctly.
I can't remember.
I know you were not in a mental state that could keep track of that.
It was
rough. Like, yeah. You know, if you look at the metrics, like, against drop eight, like, this is the best they've ever done against that, even with the receiving injuries. And you know what? I don't think they're going to see that much of it against Philly anyway, because they basically just run Vic Fangio's defense, but with a different coordinator.
Yeah.
Now that Vic actually got hired in Miami, I don't know how much input he's going to have on the defensive game planning for KC. If he's not helping with their game plan, obviously that's good for KC. But if he is, and he's not already down in Miami, you know, doing DC stuff there, that's actually kind of an advantage, in my opinion, because then you can kind of just go back to, you know, all of your previous tape against Vic Fangio's defense, which you have a
plenty.
Lot of,
yeah.
Plus, you know, Ajiro this year in Denver. Like, there is a lot of tape against this style of defense, which Philly runs. So I think that there are resources that we can use, and we will, you know, probably next week when we because we're at Shrine Bowl right now. When we have time to kind of dive into tendencies, like, off the top of my head, Philly plays quarters like 30% of the time on early downs, which even by Fangio standards is, like, insane, right? But the Chiefs can use that to their advantage, because if they're going into the game knowing that regardless of, you know, personnel grouping, formation, like, we're going to see quarters, they can, you know, kind of game plan for that in terms of, like, okay, what are our runs we like against that? What are our passes we like against? What are our shot plays we like against that? You know, if people are healthy, we don't know yet. If people are healthy, like, maybe we see, like, an early pin and post to MVS, because there's not going to be a post safety. Like, there are some advantages to kind of knowing the system in Philly, even though they haven't played Philly, because of, you know, the familiarity with the coaching staff.
I think there's going to be some very interesting things when you're talking about looking ahead to the Eagles game, where we're talking about, like, personnel stuff. The Chiefs can probably keep some mystery there with a lot of the guys that ended the game.
Why would you give it away?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. There's some comments coming out about L'Jarius Sneed. Andy, you know, hey, he's done a lot of great stuff for us. And, you know, we'll see, you know, if he can go, great. If not, you know, he's been a great player.
Hope he can go.
Oh, I do too.
My God.
Sounds like he was, well, and here's an interesting thing going back to the Bengals. Sounds like he was going to follow Jamar. That was kind of their plan. That's what Andy said in the press conference. He's going to follow Jamar a little bit.
So, on one hand, I love L'Jarius.
Mm-hmm.
If there's somebody that will get up on the line of scrimmage and box with Jamar, it's L'Jarius. It's the part after the boxing.
Yeah, that's been a struggle all year.
The running the 4-3 part but for me, put McDuffie on him?
Yeah.
But, hey, luckily they survived it. They don't have to – well, now they have to deal with A.J. Brown, similar kind of problem. Mm-hmm. I would probably put Trent on him, but we'll see.
It's going to be – like, it's just interesting. Like, it's interesting that they were going to do that. The funny thing is, I actually thought that the young corners did a pretty good job in press this week against the Bengals.
As good as you can hope for. Because, remember, a lot of the production from Jamar and Higgins, you had that massive jump ball to Higgins where he jumped, like, 10 feet in the air. What are you going to do against that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had the 4th-and-6 bomb to Jamar. But, like, other than that, they were – pretty okay.
Yeah. I mean, they did a good job disrupting at the line of scrimmage. They were physical there. I mean, and, like, obviously, I think, you know, the Bengals are going to get theirs from time to time. Those are two elite receivers. Those are two of the best receivers in football, you know, winning at the catch point. And for those two rookies, a couple moments where they weren't really great about turning their head, but I think about some situational football stuff. I look at, you know, right at the end of the half, or right in the end of the first half, you got 12 seconds left. The ball's at the 5-yard line. You've got, you know, you've got a couple shots to throw a fade. And so they challenge. They throw a fade to T. Higgins. Jalen Watson makes an outstanding play, you know, winning at the catch point. And then the next play, I'm pretty sure it was Higgins on the other side of the field. They had Josh Williams on him, and he just blanketed him in coverage. They tried to throw an out route. The two rookie corners playing physical, playing with, you know, their length and physicality. Like, that's something you look and see, hey, they did a decent job with those, you know, against T and against Ja'Marr Chase. They're going to have to do the same thing against A.J. Brown.
And A.J., it's a little bit of a different problem because A.J. is stronger than Ja'Marr. It doesn't have the same top-end speed. But pressing A.J. is a whole different animal because he is just so unbelievably physical, right? Mm-hmm. They win on the same routes, but they win a different way. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm kind of advocating for Trent, because I don't necessarily want Trent to press him. Mm. I want Trent to mirror him, and I think that Trent can get up there. And like we saw that vert on that last throw that he disrupted to T, right? That was a huge play.
So much for that arm length.
Exactly.
And maybe with the arm length he has a pick.
Well, I mean, when you jump like 38 inches or whatever, like, you know, you can kind of make up for that.
Yeah.
But I think McDuffie, in terms of playing the ball at the high point with his, you know, verticality as a corner, even go back to his time at UW, like, he was always really good at that. So he's the guy that I'm tabbing to go against AJ, not necessarily from a can he press him perspective, more so can he play the ball at the catch point.
Mm-hmm. No, and it sounds like that was one of the points of emphasis for Steve Spagnuolo this week when he's talking about with the Bengals specifically is playing at the catch point, and that's something that they tried to, you know, to get better at with this young group, this young secondary. They got thrown into the fire. I mean, the Chiefs had at one point, Brett, the Chiefs had 6 rookies on the field in some of their personnel groupings.
And they only allowed 20 points.
They only allowed 20 points.
Against the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, and it's nuts. And you look at the productivity of this rookie class. George Kolaftis gets a sack. Trent McDuffie has some big plays. The only negative plays on Trent McDuffie's ledger this week were really plays he slipped on. I think there was one, the out route on that long drive to, I think he tried to carry number 2 or something like that. But
yeah.
But outside of that, it's like, that he played well. Brian Cook had the pass breakup that Joshua Williams wound up intercepting. Joshua Williams had a good day. Jalen Watson, another.
By the way, not to give too much credit to the Bengals, but that tackle by T. Higgins on that was like, that was nuts.
Yeah.
That was where I was actually a little bit worried.
That was.
Because that saved 40 yards of field position.
Probably. Like, seriously. I mean, I don't know how long he would have been running, but he had some green to run in. But it's just, I think that experience for that young defense, like, you see Spags continue to build. You see Spags continue to, you know, kind of grow with this group. And it does feel like, even with a young secondary, even with a young team that had a lot, you know, had a lot of, you know, adversity strike early in the game for them defensively. I mean, Spags was in his bag and he was able to run a lot of different stuff and kind of, you know, do it with a young group.
What I found interesting was when they absolutely needed it most, we're putting Chris Jones out on the edge and say, go win. Mm-hmm. And he did, obviously, because he's Chris Jones. What I'm fascinated to see is, do they do that again against an injured Lane Johnson, who at this point I don't think is going to get any healthier the rest of the year?
No. Did I see he tore his groin again?
I mean, he's playing through it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still Lane Johnson, right?
Yeah.
He's first ballot Hall of Famer. But so is Chris.
Yeah.
And it's one thing if you're Lane to anchor against, say, Kayvon Thibodeau. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to anchor against Chris Jones. Mm-hmm. I would be so fascinated to see early on in the Super Bowl if we get a couple reps from Chris out there just to see what Lane can take.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of intentionality through the chest, specifically this week, it felt like, against this Bengals offensive line.
They were pissed.
Oh, my
They
gosh.
Were so mad.
It was great.
The whole Burrowhead stuff and the Cincy Mayer stuff and the Eli Apple stuff, like, They were exercising some demons out there.
Absolutely. And I think they were going to regardless because, like, this team has just, like, been a thorn in their side. But, yeah, like, I think all that additional motivation, like, for sure added some levels to this. But that pass rush, I mean, Chris Jones, like, that's the – like, of that version of Chris Jones, I don't know if we need to rename Arizona's – you know, rename the Cardinals Stadium Burrowhead something – whatever works, because that version of Chris Jones, getting him on that field is an absolute. He's had a career year.
That might be the best game he's ever played, to be honest. And that's Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And that's the best game he's ever played.
I genuinely think that. Like, I'm lockstep with you. Like, that is just
that man plays against the Raiders twice a year, and that's the best game he's ever played.
Yeah. He just put together just an unbelievable performance where I think this has kind of, like, been the build-up. This has kind of been a career year and, like, a do-or-die year for the Chiefs, but there's decisions to make about him and his contract after this season.
Pay him. I don't
They're going to pay him.
Who cares?
They're going to pay
him. It's Chris Jones.
Exactly. They're going to pay him.
He could walk in there and ask for $30 million a year. I would say yes.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
The stage is set and we're counting down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way to get ready for the NFL action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Chiefs and Eagles, the Andy Reid, Kelce Brothers Bowl, this is going to be amazing. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KCSN. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes for details.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Well, he might.
he will, but he's earned it.
He might.
He's earned it.
He might.
Do you think they're going to the Super Bowl 3 times in 5 years without Chris Jones?
No.
Exactly.
I don't.
Do you think the Hunt family is going to care about $30 million compared to going to Super Bowls?
Probably
not.
We'll find out. I mean, that's going to be, but I think he set himself up, and I think the whole thing is, next year was kind of a big year in making a decision on how this is going to work with Chris Jones. His salary cap hit is $30 million next year.
Guess what's going to, you know, it's going to get converted.
And it's going to go up a little
bit. We're going to free up $20
million. Yeah.
Because that's how the cap works. Mm-hmm. Is you get a $30 million base salary hit, and then it's like, let's pay that. And then we spread it out over the next, 4 years or something like that. He retires a Chief. He goes to the Hall of Fame in the first ballot.
I think that's the direction we're trending after.
That's what we're doing here. Any other option to me just doesn't make sense.
I think before the season there probably was a little bit of doubt, and I think he shut that doubt out in every way imaginable. And it's not the end cap because there's one more game left. But that was like, I think that game we just saw was a defining moment for Chris Jones' legacy. Where, he's had some big games and he's had some big plays, and he hadn't had a sack, a statistical. He hasn't had a stat, you know, he hasn't had the stat to back up the disruption.
Playoff games.
It's wild.
But also, it is kind of a testament of, like, that man's been getting the protection slid his way for 14 playoff games.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about
it. And then he finally gets out on the edge one-on-one. Is like, oh, thank God I have space.
Well, and he's still disrupted games. And that's the thing. Like, that's why I really wanted him to make sure that he was going to get a sack at some point, just to shut this stupid narrative up. Because he's made big impacts on games in the playoffs. Like, they don't win the Super Bowl a couple years ago without what he does in the fourth quarter. He took that game over, and you see today, I mean, or you see Sunday, he took that game over in the most dominant way that we've seen, and they tried to slide some protection to him still, and it still didn't matter. And there was one-on-ones that the thing that's really encouraging for me looking forward is, yeah, they still, you know, they would double team Chris Jones. The rest of that defensive line stood up in a big way. Mike Dana possibly had the best game of his life, too. It wasn't
out
just
of
Chris Jones,
nowhere.
Right?
Out of nowhere. But it was great. It was great.
Just rushing from the inside and disrupting. And George Karloftis gets a sack. Frank Clark gets a sack and a half.
Dana drew that big hold on 3rd and 10 probably changed the game completely, because I think they punted on that drive, right?
Yes. And then I mean, Mike Dana was the one that actually got home first on the first possession of the game for the Bengals. The Bengals are really good playing from the front. Like, that's one of the things that the Bengals are so tough is they like to play with a lead, and I think they'd won some ridiculous amount of games in a row when they score first. And the Chiefs got him off the field quickly, put points on the board, and that was the rest of that. But, like, Mike Dana was the one that first stop, that huge stop, he actually was the one that got the near sack. Joe Burrow does what he does, gets out of it somehow, the same way he got out of it somehow.
Was that the one where he shook Bolton into Narnia?
No, that wasn't this one. But this one, Mike Dana, he gets out of that, but then Chris Jones gets, that's the one he gets his sack too. So, like, Mike Dana played out of his mind. That whole defensive front, I think, played out of their mind.
Yeah, it was, and this is saying a lot, the best Chiefs defensive performance I've seen in 2 years.
Oh, I agree.
Like, all things considered, right? And I think carrying that momentum with Spags into the Super Bowl, in the stadium, by the way, fun fact, where he was the Giants DC when they beat Tom Brady. Mm. In the because that was the first Super Bowl that was in Arizona. Spags was the DC. I'm actually working on a project on that game for the NFL right now.
Nice.
I'm going to be down in the Super Bowl filming at the stadium for that, and it's about Spags' Super Bowl game plan in that game. Mm. So I was able to, you know, work some relationships and get a sort of comparable playbook that I'm going to be studying my ass off, so that when I come back and talk about what they're going to do in this game, I'll have a little bit more knowledge on it.
That's going to be fun to watch. And that's, I mean, and what Steve Spagnuolo is able to do in big games.
Oh, he's a magician. He's the best. Like, there's a lot of great defensive coordinators, Wade Phillips, Vic Fangio. If I have one game that I got to win, give me Spags. Mm. Look at his history in big games. He always comes through.
He found a way. And I think he had Joe Burrow in a blender yesterday. Like, I genuinely, like, he, there was some big that, and I think, like, honestly, I think the default for Cincinnati last night was let's keep some guys in protection and just let our dudes be dudes.
They did not trust Adeniji and Carmen at all. And for good reason, but they did not trust them.
They shouldn't.
The one time they didn't give Adeniji chip help, Chris Jones won the game, mm-hmm. basically.
Well, and even like Max Sharping. Like, I don't know how much they actually trust him either, if I'm being honest.
Neither did the Texans. So.
Yeah, there's a reason.
It's not a new thing here.
There's a reason he's a Bengal. But yeah, I think the Bengals game plan really didn't have, I mean, like, the Bengals game plan, I think that in the biggest chunk plays, a lot of them was just like, hey, we're just going to keep protection in and we're going to see what happens. We talk about the 4th and 6. That's a 3-man route.
And Jamar go win. That's literally what it is.
That's what it was.
What I was kind of surprised by is you look at the run pass splits in the first half. I think Burrow had 11 passes and there was like 3 runs from Mixon. In the show that we did last week, time is a weird thing right now for us. You know, one of my main concerns / predictions that Willie Gay got on my ass about on Instagram.
I didn't tell
you he DM'd me, did he?
No.
Yeah, he hunted down my Instagram and DM'd me about it. But I was bringing up some stats that were especially relevant from the last meeting where, you know, they average 6 yards a carry in inside zone and 6.4 on duo, and they just ran it down their throat with Samaje Perine. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Bengals did against the Bills, was just inside zone, inside zone, inside zone. And I was like, look, inside zone and duo has been a problem for the Chiefs all year. They allowed like 5.5 carries or something like that. I was worried that that's what this game was going to turn into, and that the whole, you know, talk about Mahomes' ankle and how are they going to handle Jamar and all that, that it was going to be worthless because it was just going to be we're running 35 times. And then the Bengals came out and it was like a 3-11 run pass split in the first half. And I was like, if they're going to do that, they stand no chance. Their only way to win this game is to run the ball. And they didn't.
I wonder if like game script kind of changes a little bit for them. Like they, I think they flipped a little bit too early. Cause I mean, they had two really early possessions.
Like 13-3. Like,
I know, but I just like, but the thing is, I think the thing is a 3-and-out to start the game. So
they got spooked. You know, they got spooked.
And I think they had a second 3-and-out to start the game as well. So, like, the Bengals had 0 yards in the first quarter.
What I want to bet, I mean, I wasn't in Arrowhead, obviously. I was here. But you get a 3-and-out, I'm sure Arrowhead was just deafening. And they're like, we need a dagger or something to, like, quiet them down. And then they just didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know, until it was too late.
Yeah. Zero. I mean, the Chiefs held the Bengals to 0 yards in the first quarter, which is just an absurd stat for if you, you know, this defense, again, like we're talking about, they stepped up in just a massive, massive way. Before we get out of here, real quick, Patrick LeVon Mahomes on one leg.
Still a top three quarterback, and he ain't three. I mean, he is, he's only started 5 years now.
Yeah.
He is already one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time in 5 years. Mm-hmm. The list is Tom at one, and then in whatever order you want, Peyton, Dan Marino, Drew Brees, Patrick Mahomes.
I think so. I think you're right.
He's already there.
I'll start fighting. I'll start fighting some people. I'll start puffing my chest about his rankings soon enough because, I mean,
if he wins a Super Bowl this year, mm-hmm. We're well on our way to catching Tom at this point.
I don't, and this is going to be my take. I don't think he needs to catch Tom in rings to be considered the GOAT at some point in his life.
I think if we, when I say we, I'm not even a Chiefs fan, but I'm saying we.
You're honest. You're a case.
But I've covered the Chiefs more than any other team this year. So I'm a closet Chiefs fan. Let's call it that.
There you go. I'll take it.
I think if the Chiefs get to as many straight AFC Championship games as the Tom Brady Patriots did, which at this point they're already halfway there, right? Mm-hmm. They've literally never missed with Patrick Mahomes. If they get that and then exceed it, which again, I'm not ruling that out, there's an argument.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And the AFC's harder now, by the way, than it was back then.
Well, and I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Spags' defense, but it's not exactly a Bill Belichick defense that Patrick Mahomes is getting to play with, you know? So
yeah,
there's that too. That's Brett Coleman. This is KCSN Update. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it, and we'll catch you later.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou, by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.